It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. I am Kim Munson. Welcome to the show. It is Friday. I hope you had a great week. You made it through the week. Congratulations. Weekend is right around the corner for you, Steve.
Yeah, this has been a whirlwind week, that's for sure.
And the rest of the month is going to be like that as well. So fasten your seatbelt, okay?
Don't even. Well, the fact that we're here in December and we've talked about it often, it feels like it maybe should be September. Summer.
My internal clock is back at the 4th of July.
Okay.
You know, somebody said that life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes.
There's an analogy. Word picture.
For your Friday. So, hey, a couple of things. First of all, many of you may be tuning in. We were going to talk with Joe Otto, a successful businessman, talking about the case for Trump. He had a family emergency, so he is not going to be in this morning. We will get him rebooked for sometime in January.
So you're stuck with us.
You're stuck with the Steve and Kim Show. Here you go. So first thing, tomorrow is Pearl Harbor Day. I know there was a tragedy yesterday at Pearl Harbor, but there was a big tragedy on December 7th, 1941, when the Japanese attacked us at Pearl Harbor. It was a surprise attack, and that is what drew the Americans into World War II. And I don't know a lot of people know, but it was not just an attack on Pearl Harbor. Within the next day, the Japanese were attacking the Philippines. There were some other attacks on some of the different islands. They took the Philippines very, very quickly, which precipitated the Bataan Death March, where there were thousands of Americans and thousands of Filipino soldiers who were, it was like, I think like a 70 or 80 mile march. It was cruel. Many of them died. And Japan was truly, truly an aggressor. They went out and they bombed another country. They were taking over countries. I think a lot of our young people are being told that America was the aggressor on this. No, we were not. Japan bombed Pearl Harbor December 7th, 1941. They attacked the Philippines, a number of different islands, and that is why the Americans were drawn into the war, that we would stand against aggression, to stand against tyranny, to stand against evil, and to stand against country trying to take over other countries. Steve, your comment?
Well, strangely enough, guess where I was in May of this year? In Pearl Harbor. I mean,
it's sacred ground, isn't it?
Even though I had worked for an airline early and had been to Hawaii several times because of the job, this vacation, this anniversary trip that we took, was my first opportunity to actually set foot on Pearl Harbor. I had only seen it from the air, flying in and out of the Honolulu airport. And yeah, sacred. And to stand there near the visitor center and look in a 360-degree view and try to imagine the air full of Japanese planes. Any direction you looked, here they came. And they were quite, well, they were incredibly well prepared. If you've ever seen the movie Tora, 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 which was a collaborative film done by the American filmmakers, but also with great levels of Japanese assistance, to get all that inside information showing how it was in the planning process, how articulate they were in their planning. And then, you know, even beyond that, the notion that the events leading up to Pearl Harbor were 10 years in the making. Not so much the bombing of Pearl Harbor, but the Japanese aggression, like you just mentioned, especially their foray into China, they were brutal.
They were brutal. They were absolutely brutal.
They would come back to the table, all their military leaders and, you know, the emperor, who was a god, saying, well, what stands between us and our total success here was, oh my gosh, the Americans have moved their naval forces from, what was it, San Diego. They moved it out to Pearl Harbor. What stands between us and success is the Americans and their, you know, their naval forces. So, hey,
Well, and what happened is the Japanese had awakened a sleeping giant, in the words of FDR. And we were lucky. I think that a number of our aircraft carriers were actually out to sea, and so it could have been a lot worse.
There were three major errors made by the Japanese, and I think this statement, this analysis, came from one of the Japanese very high command. One of them was, of the three errors made, the fact that the carriers were out to sea, a fuel depot that was totally ignored, just over the hill from Pearl Harbor, that had they bombed it, had they destroyed all that mm-hmm. fuel, we would have really been in a bad way. Mm-hmm. And now, oh, the dry docks. They didn't do anything to damage the dry docks. So ship repair for those ships that weren't heavily, heavily damaged could have been done still.
It began immediately.
Right. So those three errors on their part were, you know, they buffered the impact of that disaster.
So I think that we should take a solemn moment tomorrow to remember all of our soldiers, our Navy personnel who died that day, December 7th, 1941. As many of you know, I also have America's Veteran Stories, which I have interviewed over 120 World War II veterans, and so you can check that out on my website. But sitting across the table or talking with these guys on the phone, it truly has changed my life, and that is one of the reasons why we do this show. Steve, we stand on the shoulders of giants. You look back to the Patriots, George Washington, who stood against tyranny, the tyranny of the British, to put everything on the line for liberty, for the idea that every individual could have these rights to go after their life, their liberty, and their pursuit of happiness. And then just 70-plus years later, we have the Civil War, where we went to war to determine whether or not slavery would continue on into the territories, and whether or not one man could own another man. And you know, it was revolutionary to do that. Slavery was prevalent throughout the world. It was the Americans who went to war to answer that question. And so the idea that we are being berated for our history instead of telling the whole history, our history is not perfect. But the idea that we are being berated instead of held up to what those people did, it's truly, truly amazing. We stand on the shoulders of giants. You go to World War I, World War II, our soldiers now, all the different conflicts. And standing against evil and tyranny, standing for liberty, is something that is inherently American. And so thank you, December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor, tomorrow. Just take a minute to just think about what that really meant.
I propose that in world history for countries that still have a functioning educational system and educate their citizens to world history. Yes, we're berated, but you got to kind of take a microscope and see who's actually berating us. And usually it's some politician in another country who's grandstanding for whatever reason.
Or it is these radical activists that have taken over the Democrat Party. You're seeing that happen in America as well.
Does the general population, free world population, still know that, you know, the history of the world, modern history of the world, the last 100 years, and the history of the United States, what we've been doing? I mean, yeah, we had to go to war. World War II was incredibly bad, but the Marshall Plan. How many people know about the Marshall Plan? What did we do after the war was over? What did we do?
We didn't keep the land. We actually went home. All we asked for in World War II was enough land to bury our soldiers that we could not bring home. And then we actually spent our own tax dollars to help rebuild Germany and Japan. What country does that? I mean, when does that ever happen? And Steve, you know, I went to Normandy in 2016 with a team that took four D-Day veterans. And so one of the things that we did is made presentations at schools. The veterans went to the schools. And we walk into a school, and it was unbelievable. In their gymnasium, there was a big picture of Thomas Jefferson and a big American flag in Normandy. And so this idea that the French hate us, sure, you know, there may be some politicians. De Gaulle didn't like us very much. Macron doesn't like us very much, it seems like. But in Normandy, They revere these soldiers.
I think, you beat me to the punch. The news this week with Macron carrying on in really strange ways, coming out with these asinine statements about NATO, a country like France and their history being invaded not once but twice by Germany. Why would you make statements like that?
Yeah, and who came over and helped them? Who came over and helped them?
Not
right?
once, but yeah, invaded not once but twice, but assisted not once but twice by the USA.
And to that point, at the church at St. Mary Glees, which was that was the little village that was first liberated by the Allies. You know, the 101st Airborne jumped in there.
Besieged.
Yeah. And there's a great show, a great movie. It's called The Longest Day, John Wayne. You'll probably see a remake since they just remade Midway. You'll probably see a remake of The Longest Day. But they have a beautiful, in their church there, they have a beautiful stained glass window. And it actually shows a number of paratroopers. And in it, both in French and then in English, it says they came back. And it took my breath away to think that what happened is, once again, the Americans came back and they liberated France once again. So my point is, we stand on the shoulders of giants. We need to engage in this battle of ideas that is raging in America today. The way you do it is you get your brain around these issues. That's why we do this show, is to bring forth these things so that you can find your voice and be able to talk with your friends, your family, your colleagues, the kids when they come home from school, about, you know, the real American idea, and make the case. And 2020 is right around the corner. It is going to be a raucous year in politics. And you each of you need to be out there making the case for the American idea, and then encouraging people to be sure and vote. Steve, your final comment before we go to break.
Well, I this is going to sound like I'm picking on a particular segment of the culture, and I'm not. That's not the intent. But
Who are you going to pick on?
Well, go down to 16th Street Mall, grab your average everyday millennial and ask them about the significance of December 7th, and or ask them about the Marshall Plan and see what kind of response you get.
But Steve, I'm going to submit to you, it's not their fault. It's our fault because we have let this education system get by without teaching them that.
That's true. There's no debate there. But as you know, when does a person become aware of their awareness in terms of this history, or the country you're living in and its history, and why things are the way they are today? Yes, we can certainly clobber ourselves and our educational system right now for the way it has let down these kids. There are these young people, but then again, where does self-awareness take over and the sense of being grown up?
Didn't you get a lot of heart, though, yesterday when Cody Hubley was in studio, young millennial, and he's had to search it out for himself? It's been such an interesting journey. I find great hope in that, Steve.
Cody and or Stephen?
Steve Kessler?
Yeah, there you go. There is hope.
Yep, you bet there's hope. So, hey, let's go to break. When we come back, we've got a great show planned for you today. There's a ton of headlines to go through. It was a wild day in Washington, D.C. This is the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. We'll be right back.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Butter Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at KimMunson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we are having a conversation about important issues out there. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. And please remember that Nazi stands for National Socialist German Workers' Party. It was socialists over in Germany that were abusing their people. They were aggressors. They were, you know, trying to exterminate a complete population. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. And if something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people. And we are Americans, and surveys show that we like force. Would like to say thank you.
Say that again.
We like freedom. Excuse me. I looked over and I saw your furrowed brow there. We like freedom. Excuse me. There's a few that would like to force people around, but Americans like freedom.
Say what?
Oh, live radio. My gosh, I'd like to rewind that, but we've made our clarification.
We've been pushing the live radio boundaries this week, big time.
I know, and that does a lot for your heart, doesn't it, Steve?
Yes, if my cardiologist is listening, he might want to call you and have a word with you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Steve. Thank you to the team, to you, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie for all your great work. And to each of you listeners, thank you. You are treasured. You're valued. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, soul, mind, and body. And be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. Munson is spelled M-O-N-S-O-N. And our quote for today, we were going to be talking with Joe Otto about Trump. And there's actually some really cool Trump quotes out there if you start to search for them. And I thought this was pretty inspirational, Steve. Donald Trump said, "No dream is too big. No challenge is too great. Nothing we want for our future is beyond our reach." Have you heard the mainstream media tell you about that one?
No.
Okay. Just compare that vision. That vision with, again, no dream is too big, no challenge is too great, nothing we want for our future is beyond our reach, to Joe Biden's no malarkey tour. I mean, there's a real difference between the two, right?
You're bound and determined to get me talk about Joe and malarkey, so.
We're going to do that, yes. But the other thing, since we're going to be talking about Trump, I thought, okay, I wanted to try to find some deep state jokes. And you know what? When I was trying to Google deep state jokes, there's no jokes about it. You know, in the old days, late night television would be all over that. But I could not find any deep state jokes.
Maybe that's you had mentioned this yesterday. You know, we always do a little show prep the day before for what's coming today. And you said, hey, I can't find any snarky comments about deep state, especially from the late night guys. And I said, maybe that's an indicator. Because the deep state has control over them, too.
Yeah, I know. So I decided to go to an FBI joke, okay? Are you ready?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Oh, hold on here just a second. I have, you know what happens? Hang with me here, because for some reason, Steve, when you print off, I like to have paper, and when you print it off, it actually takes off just one part here. So, okay, now I've got it. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, I've got it on the computer. Okay, an FBI agent tells a Colorado rancher, "I need to search your ranch for illegally grown drugs." The rancher replies, "Okay, but don't go into that field over there." The agent verbally explodes, saying, "Mister, I have the authority of the federal government with me." Reaching into his rear pant pocket, removing his badge, the officer proudly displays it to the farmer. "See this badge? This badge means I'm allowed to go wherever I wish on any land. No questions asked or answers given. Have I made myself clear? Do you understand?" The Colorado old rancher, he nods politely and goes about his chores. Later, the old rancher hears loud screams and spies the agent running for his life, and close behind is the rancher's bull. With every step, the bull is gaining ground on the agent, and the agent is clearly terrified. So the old rancher immediately throws down his tools, runs to the fence, and yells at the top of his lungs, "Your badge! Your badge! Show him your badge!"
What's humorous there?
There's actually a lot.
Actually, you know, up until the name James Comey entered our lexicon, I always had great respect for the FBI and thought they were really, you know, hopefully above reproach. But mm-hmm. obviously, you know, since the James Comey era, they're just as free game, or, you know, fair game as anyone else. So, yeah, that's a good one.
Okay. Well, you mentioned James Comey, who was the head of the FBI, which makes me think of this little story that Cheryl Atkinson told us when we had her on the air. As you may remember, she's a CBS reporter. She was following the story on Fast and Furious. And the FBI started to spy on her. And in fact, I asked her that I'd heard the story that she was home one night. They actually had gone in and bugged her computer, that she was at her computer, did not have her hand on her mouse, and the cursor was moving around. And, you know, I think it was just kind of a message that we're watching you. So I asked her if that was true. She said, yeah, that was true. And I said, weren't you afraid? And she said, I wasn't really afraid. I got mad. And so I said, now, was this under Comey's FBI? And she said it was actually started under the previous director of the FBI. And I said, who was that? Do you remember the answer, Steve, that she gave us?
Was it Clapper?
Robert Mueller.
Oh, okay.
Robert Mueller, who did the whole Russia investigation. You want to talk about deep state? I mean, just connect the dots. Initially, I thought when we started to hear about the deep state that really, that's really tin hat stuff. I mean, as the veil is coming off, it is astonishing what's going on there. So, okay, so let's continue on, though. And, Steve, I did not realize this, but you are clairvoyant. I remember several weeks ago when you had said to me that the Chicago police superintendent is probably going to get fired. And so this is from MSN.com. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot fired police superintendent Eddie Johnson effective immediately Monday for intentionally misleading her and the public about his conduct when he was found asleep in his running vehicle at a stop sign after a late weeknight out in October. This moment needs to be a turning point for the Chicago Police Department and the way things are done in this city, said Lightfoot, emphasizing that a culture change must take place. The stunning announcement came just weeks after Lightfoot held what she referred to Monday as a celebratory press conference to announce Johnson's retirement by year's end after 3.5 years at the helm. Former Los Angeles Police Chief Charlie Beck, previously named Johnson's interim successor, took control of the beleaguered department after flying into Chicago on Monday afternoon. He and the mayor separately met with the department's top brass. Sources told the Chicago Tribune that the city inspector general's office, which had been investigating the October incident, obtained video footage showing Johnson drinking for a few hours on the evening of October 16th with a woman who was not his wife, a popular restaurant and bar near the Chicago Board of Trade building. Later that night, when the officers responded to a 911 call near Johnson's home in the Bridgeport neighborhood about 12:30 a.m., Johnson rolled down the window on his police vehicle, flashed his superintendent's badge, "Do you know who I am?" and drove off. Now, don't we remember that Eddie Johnson, when Trump was in Chicago, he actually said he wasn't going to show up, and that was when President Trump said, you know, you might want to take a look at what's happening in your city and start to do your job. I know I'm paraphrasing, but and at that point, Steve, you said that you did not think that Johnson would keep his job for very long. He was going to retire, but actually he was fired. I wonder what that means, whether or not he's going to get his pension or not.
Well, I made that prediction, if you will, mostly out of anger and then frustration, as well as that a person in his position could stand on his position and badmouth Trump the way he did when that all that was going down. So, you know, again, my own frustration and anger saying this guy needs to go. But sure enough, there it is. So,
and he's gone.
Yep.
And Trump's still there. So one other thing. Don't you remember when Mayor Hancock's son was pulled over by the police? And he said, "Do you know who I am?" There seems to be a lot going on with the Democrats. Do you know who I am? You know, Pelosi, we'll talk about it in a little bit. She says, well, Donald Trump should not be above the law. It looks to me like there's a whole bunch of Democrats out there that think that they are above the law. Eddie Johnson, Hancock's son. I mean, the list goes on and on.
And notably, in that scenario, I'm sure the Aurora officers knew who he was, and they didn't really care.
And,
after his misbehaving, so.
Interesting. So, hey, let's jump over to Jason McBride. Jason McBride, how are you doing on this Friday morning?
I'm very good. Hey, I'm listening to the statistics on this Johnson fellow. I mean, he was caught unlawfully drinking, sitting in his car. Apparently, he was cheating on his wife and shows great abuse of his position and power. I think we have our answer on who's next to jump into the Democratic race for president. I mean, he's a perfect candidate for them.
So you're also clairvoyant. Steve was clairvoyant on this, and so you think he's going to jump in as well.
He has obviously,
Johnson?
You know, Johnson has met all the criteria.
That's true. That's true. So, hey, Jason, a couple of things, though. You and I were chatting just briefly yesterday, and, you know, you seem to come across some people that are doing a great job, and I know that you so appreciate that. So tell us the story.
Well, it seems somewhat less common these days to find that. And, yeah, I went to a place yesterday called Big Frog T-Shirts. That's in Aurora, right kind of off of Parker Road and Chambers there. And I'll tell you, I had called the store earlier. This gal answered the phone. She was so cheerful and just so helpful. And when I got to the store, I walk in. There she is. Her name's Mason. And she's got a big old smile on her face. She's trying to help me with what I'm doing, and just so happy and so enthusiastic, and you know, just really made you feel like she was just thrilled that you were there, being a customer in their store, and you know, it was just kind of another one of those Spencer moments, Kim, you know, where it's like, wow, this is somebody that's going above and beyond. And Kim, by above and beyond, I don't mean, you know how it is these days, a lot of times you go in and people are just like kind of like this, and I'm not saying she was above and beyond that. I'm saying she was above and beyond the type of service that you used to expect that was normal. So I just want to give a great shout out to Mason at Big Frog T-Shirts right there at Parker and Chambers, and she just seems like a really great gal and took good care of me. So shout out and thank you.
You know, Jason, I started a practice in the last year or two. The most recent opportunity came on our return flight from back east on Southwest. The young man, the flight attendant, he was so good. And what I'm referring to is I go to these people after watching them for a while. I said, do you like what you do? And the answer usually, because they've already drawn my attention, is yes. And I tell them, it shows. And they always light up.
Yep.
Without fail, they light up.
Well, that's great. You know, and maybe we don't get the service we used to. And I bet that, you know, they may not get the acknowledgement that they used to either, because everybody's seems more busy, more kind of self-involved with everything they have to do these days just to keep going. So, you know, I always highly appreciate it when someone goes above and beyond for the service. And we should do like you do too, Steve, and tell them that to acknowledge it.
Well, and you know, Jason, many times what I will do is just say thank you for your good work. Or if I'm at the grocery store, I'll say thank you for having all these things that I needed. And I was at the grocery store the other day. Now, you know, you are senior vice president with Presidential Wealth Management, and you have a great appreciation for the American idea and for capitalism. But I was just thinking about it and kind of mentioned it on the Thanksgiving, or shopping for Thanksgiving. I mean, I was supposed to take the pies, and so I didn't have to grow the pumpkin. I was able to get apples in November so that I could make apple pie. There was the sugar. There was the flour. I didn't have to raise, you know, sugar beets or sugar cane, which, and, you know, I didn't have to raise the wheat. The eggs, I didn't have to raise the chickens. And so what capitalism is it's a trade of goods and services that make your life better. And just think, if we were trying to put that all together and have to raise all that stuff, I mean, it would be really impossible, and it would take so much time, we wouldn't be able to do all of these other things. So I think that sometimes we just don't appreciate what we have here in America.
You know, that is a really good point, Kim. I thought you were going to next say someone came and made the pies for you, too. And you didn't have
them
to pay for everything, but that would be socialism, wouldn't it?
Bada boom. You nailed it on that. So speaking of Thanksgiving, You know, we did that really fun show on the turkey stocks, and, you know, people can actually download it. So where can they find that?
Well, there's a couple of places. One, they can go to your website, which is kimmonson.com. You can download your turkey stocks report for 2019. We also have it on our landing page, Kim, which is airpresidential.com. You just have to scroll down a little bit, and there it is, along with the podcast that we did at the firm discussing the turkey stocks as well. Or you could do it the old-fashioned way, of course, and just give us a call, 303-694-1600. And Natalie, as you love to say, will be at the boards at 7:30. And that was a lot of fun. It's always fun to kind of pick these turkey stocks out and then see how they turn out over the next year. But you never know. Some of them might turn into eagles. Get the report, do your own research, and if you think they're appropriate for you, maybe you might like one or two of them.
Well, most definitely. It's so interesting. I love that kind of stuff. And, you can get that by going to AIR, that's A-I-R, presidential.com, airpresidential.com. And, Jason, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate our partnership and also just kind of these nuggets of wisdom that you give the listeners each morning. So thanks so much. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday.
All right. Have a great show, Kim.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to continue with headlines. We've got some sound bites from yesterday that you are not going to want to miss. It is unbelievable. I know it's a little early, but you might want to grab the popcorn because it is a show. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and let's have a conversation about what's going on out there. Before we do that, we were just talking with Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. They are a valued partner of mine. I'm truly an entrepreneur. On my radio shows, I actually purchase my time, which is great because I have full editorial control on what we do here. But that also means that I need partners to make sure that we stay on the air. And so I just wanted to give a shout out and say thank you to my sponsors and partners, Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance. I highly recommend each of these people. Jason McBride, John Buckingham with Presidential Wealth Management, Hooters Restaurants, Susan Kochevar with the 888 Drive-In Theater, the Harris Family, Liberty Oilfield Services, Jay Davidson at First American State Bank, Lauren Levy with Polygon Fi. He can help you with all of your mortgage questions, whether or not it's a refinance, whether or not you're going to buy a new home, or if you want to check out a reverse mortgage if you're 62 or older. Water's Edge Winery, Liberty Toastmasters, Chris Cantwell with Trans World Business Advisors, and Complete Colorado. And if you would be interested, if you'd like to be a partner of mine, we should sit down and talk about that and see if we like each other. That would be awesome. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And just wanted to let you know about something that Hooters Restaurants and Little Richie's is doing. They're doing a Bikes for Tykes fundraising. It ends December 15th. And Bikes for Tykes, it provides helmets and bicycles for local children who have been abused, neglected, or are at risk for abuse and neglect. And it's a great cause. It benefits children locally from the Springs to Northern Colorado. And I love the fact that not one dime of this goes to administration. All of it is going to go to the kids. So if you are interested, you can donate any dollar amount. Let me know about that. Just email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And I'll get you the information on that. And then also Hooters, it's a great place for holiday party. You know, the girls are going to be coming over on Wednesday night. And so I will be getting probably the buffalo shrimp. It is delicious. But there's all kinds of things going on there. You can have Hooters cater. In fact, we did just recently do a food drop at a business in Lodo. It was so much fun. So be sure and check out my website, and there's the link to Hooters there because they're doing a lot of great work. Okay, Steve, let's get to some of these sound bites. Yesterday, it was absolutely wild what was going on, it looks like that Nancy Pelosi is recommending to continue on with impeachment, and I find this whole kind of narrative about a monarchy. This seems to be something that they're pushing out in a variety of different arenas. Mainstream media is kind of jumping on that. But I think the first soundbite is Nancy Pelosi and talking about Donald Trump, right?
Well, she, I watched this several times. The video is more, or the whole thing is more complete if you have the video and see her expression. She's obviously reading off a teleprompter, mm-hmm. But this first bite is her just announcing the big bomb, which we feared was coming all along.
In the course of today's events, it becomes necessary for us to address, among other grievances, the president's failure to faithfully execute the law. When crafting the Constitution, the founders feared the return of a monarchy in America. And having just fought a war of independence, they specifically feared the prospect of a king president corrupted by foreign influence.
Boy, Steve, is that not astounding? They are trying to make this narrative that Donald Trump thinks that he's a king. In essence, when he was talking to the Ukrainian leader, and he says, I'd like you to do me a favor. I'd like you to check out this corruption between Joe Biden's son being on this board, making, I think, at least $50,000 a month, if not more. He wasn't qualified for that. $5 billion is missing. Don't you think that our president should want to try to find out about that? I think so. But yet they're trying to craft this narrative that Donald Trump is trying to be a king. And if you are not paying attention, if all you are watching is the mainstream media, you could see why people would go, well, that's not okay. We don't want a king. But that is not what Donald Trump was trying to do. But it's the narrative, Steve, that I find so interesting that they're trying to craft. And it seems very organized to me.
Well, the day before yesterday, obviously Wednesday now, when those people came to testify, I had that soundbite too, where was it Sheila Jackson Lee?
Mm-hmm.
Basically put the question to this professor, and this is what we had this one yesterday, but let's play it again.
Okay.
What comparisons, Professor Carlin, can we make between kings that the framers were afraid of and the president's conduct today?
So kings could do no wrong because the king's word was law. And contrary to what President Trump has said, Article 2 does not give him the power to do anything he wants. And I'll just give you one example that shows you the difference between him and a king, which is the Constitution says there can be no titles of nobility. So while the president can name his son Baron, he can't make him a baron.
And we talked about that yesterday. Her illustration was so pointless.
Well, a couple of things. Baron Trump is spelled B-A-R-R-O-N. like the financial magazine, and a baron is spelled B-A-R-O-N. And when Barron Trump was born, Donald Trump was not president. I'm not sure he was even thinking about running for president at that time. And so, but see what this seems so clear to me, but I want to make sure you see Sheila Jackson Lee set the question up. And the way Carlin, Professor Carlin from Stanford, and Carlin actually has donated to Hillary Clinton, I think Barack Obama, and Elizabeth Warren. So she is clearly a partisan, okay? And the way Sheila Jackson Lee, representative from Texas, set this up, and then the fact that Carlin didn't even have to stop and think, it looked to me like that was connected. And then the next day, you have Nancy Pelosi, when she says that they're moving forward with impeachment, she immediately goes to this whole monarchy thing. I find that very, very interesting, Steve.
How many times now in the last, I don't know how many years, 10 years or so, have we gone out on a given day and collect a montage of sound bites from like the day before from 10, 12 different sources, and they're all using the exact same words.
The exact same language.
So the narrative goes out to all the different potential sources, whether it be late night TV or the different news, quote unquote, organizations. This is not a coincidence.
It is not a coincidence, and that was the point that we were making. Now, one other thing. Something really interesting happened with Nancy Pelosi after she left the mic, and then I guess a reporter or somebody asked her a question that she didn't like. So, Steve, I think you've got that soundbite, don't you?
To say she didn't like it was an understatement. Again, the video lends itself to this. She left the podium, and she was walking, say, 20, 30 feet off to the exit, and a reporter on that side of the room blurted out, "Why do you hate the president?" Well, unfortunately, most of her tirade, because she immediately walked towards the guy and just gave him a piece of her mind, and the microphones didn't pick it up. But then she realized she was on a roll, so she walked back to the microphone, and that's what you're about to hear.
I think the president is a coward when it comes to helping our kids who are afraid of gun violence. I think he is cruel when he doesn't deal with helping our dreamers, of which we're very proud. I think he's in denial about the climate crisis. However, that's about the election. This is about the election. Take it up in the election. This is about the Constitution of the United States and the facts that lead to the president's violation of his oath of office. And as a Catholic, I resent your using the word hate in a sentence that addresses me. I don't hate anyone. I was raised in a way that is a heart full of love, and always prayed for the president. And I still pray for the president. I pray for the president all the time. So don't mess with me when it comes to words like that.
Okay, no, three things of note there. When she came back to the microphone, she, I hate to give her credit for anything, but she's quick on the draw. She chose the opportunity to hit Trump over the head with three major issues: gun violence, immigration, and climate change. So let's take advantage of this opportunity to whack him there. But then what came later? I mean, talk about Joe Biden's malarkey tour. I mean, Pelosi's on the malarkey tour as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was raised a Catholic, and I pray for the president every day. I hate to think what those prayers might be.
Well, okay, you nailed it. First of all, she comes back and she talks about three different things. First of all, she's talking about gun control. And gun control is, when we go to the Second Amendment of the Constitution, it says the right for people to keep and bear their arms shall not be infringed. So she's talking Constitution over here, and then right off the bat, she's going after the Second Amendment. Dreamers, immigration. Immigration is something that, again, our founders were concerned about. And if people are immigrating to America, they need to be assimilating. They need to be coming in legally. And it used to be when people immigrated to America, they didn't come in and get to be on all of these government programs. And so once again, she wants, and when you look at immigration, what they're talking about there, the Democrat Party has been taken over by the radical activists. And they are realizing that they cannot probably win many of these elections unless they bring in additional voters. And so that's, I think, one of the reasons why they are all over this supporting illegal immigration.
And the vote buying that goes with it.
The vote buying that goes with it. And then climate change. You know, Steve, yesterday I kept looking at my phone to see what the weather was supposed to be. As I looked at the weather earlier in the week, they said that we were going to have snow yesterday. And initially when I looked at my phone, it was supposed to start snowing shortly after, you know, we got off the air, and it was supposed to snow all day. We didn't actually get any snow until late in the afternoon, and it was just a dusting. My point on this is that if the weatherman cannot tell us exactly what the weather is going to do the next day, how on earth do we think that they can tell us what the temperature is going to be in 100 years? The climate does change. And at one point in time, Colorado was a tropical rainforest. At another time, there were woolly mammoths that were in the Ice Age were roaming Colorado. And so the climate does change. But this narrative is actually what it's trying to do is to take down the American economy and take down everyday hardworking people. My point is climate change and the narrative has become a religion to people. And once again, in the Constitution, it says that Congress shall make no law regarding a religion or belief system. And I submit to you that climate change has become a religion, and so it's unconstitutional. And right there, Nancy Pelosi had three things that she was going against the Constitution.
Like I said, hate to give her any credit, but she was quick on her feet there. That was an unplanned opportunity to bash him over the head. And otherwise, she would, if that guy wouldn't have blurted out, "Why do you hate the president?" it would have been over. She would have been out of the room.
Okay, and one other thing, and that is Catholic, and we have to talk a little bit about abortion here. Because the Catholic Church has a stand against abortion. Abortion is ultimately taking the life of a baby. And when we talk about the Constitution, the vision of America, that every individual has a right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, I'm talking on the big picture here, on government policy that actually is being put in place and being funded. Planned Parenthood, who their you know, one of their main businesses is abortion. They receive $500 million a year. $500 billion. $500 billion a year is what they receive, I think. You know what? I wonder if Patty's listening. She'll have to check. They get a lot of government money. Let me just put it that way.
You know, there's a text coming in the next 30 seconds.
There probably will be. And anyway, they get a lot of government money. And the idea that we are using government policy and government money to pay for something that the Catholic Church is against, and then she would actually invoke, meaning Pelosi, that she is a Catholic. This whole comment that she just reeks of hypocrisy, and that was the point I wanted to make, Steve. Okay, let's go to break. When we come back, we'll continue on with the conversation.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Denver, and the historic 88 Drive-In Theater for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today at KimMunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we are having a conversation about some important things that have been happening both in Colorado and on the national level. Primarily here, we talked about the whole Nancy Pelosi thing yesterday. Something rather astounding happened with Joe Biden as well. But before we get to that, we just had a caller that called in, and we didn't capture your phone number. And we want to get back in touch with you because I'd like to ask you at some point in time, I'd like to do a show regarding socialism. My understanding is that you have experience with that. So please give Steve a call back so that we can get your phone number and be in touch with you on that. So, Steve, I thought this was astounding what happened in Iowa yesterday. An 84-year-old Iowa farmer asked Joe Biden a question. And the way Joe Biden responded to him and the way he treated him is indicative of what these radical activist Democrat candidates and PBIs think about everyday hardworking people. I found it absolutely astonishing. So would you play that soundbite, please?
Okay, here we go. Now, the first portion of it is, it might be a little muffled. It's the gentleman laying it out to Joe, basically, what's your son doing over in Ukraine and blah, blah, blah. So here it is.
But you, on the other hand, sent your son over there to get a job and work for a gas company, but he had no experience with gas or nothing. In order to get access to the public, for the president. So you're selling access to the president just like he is.
So you're a damn liar, man. That's not true. And no one has ever said that. No one has heard that. You see it on the TV.
It went downhill from there, almost to the point where Biden actually mocks the guy's appearance and then challenges him to do push-ups.
It was astounding. But the fact that you would have a Democrat candidate say to an everyday hardworking American that you're a damn liar, I found that absolutely astonishing.
Well, I go back. We talk about the whole notion. Okay, let me start my little spiel here. Election Day 2016 was November 8th. Beginning November 9th, they've been on a plan. How can we, get this, make sure that Trump's a one-term only president, and how can we get control back, blah, blah, blah. And counter to all that is why is Joe Biden himself. Why is he even out there? Every time he opens his mouth, it's a disaster. So whoever pulls the strings in the DNC and makes plans for where we want to go, I don't get why Biden is out there in the first place.
Well, and he said, and he addressed the man once. He said something about Jack, and I don't know, I'm not sure the guy's name was Jack. But then later when he addresses him, he addresses him and calls him fat. I mean, honestly, can you believe just the disrespect? I found it absolutely astonishing. I want to continue on with that, but I need to make sure that I clarify this. Planned Parenthood, this was back in 2015, they received $528 million. So it was $500 million that they receive in government funding. And, the first place we need to go on this whole abortion question is we need to get the government out of that. No government money should be used to fund abortions. And here is Nancy Pelosi quoting that she's a good Catholic, but yet she is, one of the key people regarding making sure that the government is funding that. And so I wanted to make that very clear. And Joe Biden, same thing. I think that he's Catholic as well. And in fact, I think that he, if I recall, I think that he was denied communion at a church sometime earlier this year because of his stand in support of abortion.
Boy, it's a real bummer when that stuff comes around and burns your rear end. But yeah, that's true.
And so the point that I just wanted to make is the disdain that these people have to address that Iowa farmer the way that Biden did, and then challenge him to push-ups and calling him fat and calling him Jack. I mean, this should strike terror in the hearts of us as Americans.
Well, when the primaries come next year, anybody who goes up against him is going to know that you can get this guy off topic just like that. He is all the stupid stories he tells or those types of things in terms of, hey, let me challenge you to push-ups, blah, blah, blah. But back to my point about if your mission here is to make sure Trump is a one-term president only, then how do you go about doing it? Sarah Sanders was quoted recently. She says, look at them. They have no message. They have no leadership. I don't get the Michael Bloomberg thing. And maybe he's totally not a loose cannon, but he is so independent and he has so much money, he's not even in consultation with the Democratic leadership. But I don't get the whole thing is that they keep dividing themselves at a point they should be pushing towards some type of unification. And I don't see it.
Well, you know, in politics, a couple of things is having a vision, having something that people can buy into. To make America great again, that is something that people could buy into. And when you actually look at results, I mean, Trump he was inaugurated before he went to any of the events. He had actually taken down all of the climate change stuff that was on the White House website. And he immediately started to say that for every regulation that will be proposed, two need to go away. I mean, he went to work day one for the American people. This narrative that the radical progressive activists that have taken over the Democrat Party of trying to make everyday people think that Trump does not like them. You just see how Joe Biden treated this farmer back in Iowa. And that's what's really going on is how they disdain the everyday hardworking American, no matter your descriptor, no matter man, woman, gay, straight, black, Hispanic, or whatever, they disdain the hardworking American.
Who doesn't like who?
Yeah, who doesn't like who? That's for sure. So, well, Steve, we are out of time. So our quote again for the day, I went to Donald Trump. He said, we need strength. We need energy. We need quickness and we need brains in this country to turn it around. And I do believe that he's getting up every day and working to make that happen. And that is why the deep state is going after him. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.